I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! And welcome to the 421st episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, and today we have a very special guest. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Thatch.
So we have Ryan today. This is a pre-recorded episode because I want a weekend off during Christmas. during the holidays. So Ryan and I got together and we're gonna do a show for you guys today. Well, first of all, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. This is a episode that is not a typical episode of the Puckle Podcast. We do talk everything Pokemon, from the video game to the trading card game to, I don't know, whatever else you want to talk about. We talked about merchandise the other day. So it's we talk everything Pokemon. That welcome if you're new, welcome if you're old, welcome back if you're old, but welcome to the show. But we're gonna focus on Ryan today, because we've been building this up for I think a year now.
No, this is really cool because I listen to the show. So being on the show, it's gonna be weird actually listening to the episode.
Okay, and just to like preface this, Ryan and I have been friends since before he was listening to the show.
Right. Yeah. I didn't like reach out to him and go, "Hey, I'll give you a lot of money if you."
I live down the street from you. I found out I doxed you. And I found out that I can come be on your show. Ryan and I know each other.
Yeah, very well. We're real life friends.
And so we do that. So, Ryan, tell people about you, what you do. How do we know each other?
Yeah. So, Thatch and I, we actually went to college together, here at, can I say that?
Yeah,
the University of Dayton.
I live in Dayton. So,
yeah. So, we became friends there at college. Actually, we lived together,
for a year.
Yep. So that was a good time. And so after college, I stayed in the Dayton area. I actually work for Honda.
Yeah.
The car company. So
the car company.
In case you know any other Hondas.
Is that a thing?
I don't think so. There's other Toyotas, like other than the Toyota car company.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But obviously that's the biggest. So. Mm-hmm. And I've been a Pokemon fan pretty much all my life, in and out kind of.
Okay, definitely. So explain the in and out.
Yeah,
I think I know your timeline, but I don't know if I know your timeline.
So I experienced Pokemon for the first time like when I was like 8 or 9 years old. My cousins
like
from
when it was
Michigan. They brought the cards and like said, "Hey, you should check out like this Pokemon thing." So we watched a few of the original episodes when they're on VHS, and I was like, "This is awesome." So, you know, I got into it through the cards and through the TV show, and I didn't own any game systems at the time, you know. So for that year, for my birthday, I asked for a Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
And I got Pokemon Yellow as my game.
I think there's a lot of people starting points, surprisingly.
Yeah,
I thought Yellow would. I thought Red and Blue would be more prominent, but it's Yellow. I think more people started with Yellow than they did Red and Blue.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I played Yellow, and then I got Gold and Silver and Crystal, bought all three of those. Mm-hmm. I played Ruby and Sapphire and Emerald. And then by that point, you know, it was going into high school.
And that's when it wasn't cool.
Yeah, it wasn't cool anymore, you know. I got Diamond, but I never finished it.
Oh, really?
And my brother got Pearl. And he was, like, at the age, he's younger. He's about 8 years younger than me. So he got into it at that point.
Yeah.
So he kind of took over from me. And he played through those generations. So he'd, like, talk about it in the background, but I really didn't play.
You're missing out.
Play.
I'm just saying you're missing out.
Yeah, and then at college, you know, came and went. And I was like, you know, I had a little bit more time after college. I kind of want to get back into it.
Yeah.
So Pokemon Go came along. That was kind of my reintroduction. I don't know. That's probably.
I mean, this is a really good viewpoint, though, because I think this is something that, I mean, at least the people on the show don't have. Like, a lot of them aren't none of us have been like, oh, we came back because of Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten that far along in, like, the timeline yet.
Yeah.
For there to be prominent, like, members of the community that are like, oh, I came in from Pokemon Go. And I think that's an interesting perspective, just to, like, hear how people came back and. I don't know. It's an interesting way because, like, it's definitely a different story because this is Sword and Shield was your first game back, right?
Well, or did you play any of the 3DS ones? Bought Moon. I played Pokemon Moon up to through like the second island. I was volcano and I was like, you know, like I'm not really loving this, but I played a little bit of it and I couldn't really get into it, I guess.
I think those are awkward games to come back to anyway because it kind of throws like some of the traditions out the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's probably not a good place to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think X and Y are better. It's really sad that X and Y didn't concurrently come out with Pokemon Go, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think X and Y would have been like a much better like jumping on point, like an onboarding moment.
Yeah. I've kind of, so now that I'm back into it, I'm seeing all these games that I miss. I'm like, I kind of want to go back and play some of them.
We should talk about that. We can make some content out of that.
I don't know which one I would start with. Yeah. So people have recommendations like where to start.
We should talk because we can like make some content out of this.
Yeah.
We can make some content out of it. Yeah. It could be fun.
Yeah. But so anyway, then I played, I have a Switch. So I played Let's Go Pikachu. And then obviously I got Sword was the one that I picked up. I probably end up getting Shield at some point too.
I already got both, so yeah.
Yeah. But I played through all of that. I've really enjoyed that. And it's the first one that I've completed since Emerald. So it's a long time coming.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I thought it was pretty close. I thought it's been a while for you.
Yep.
So we'll warm up because I asked the community that has said hi to you on several occasions. To ask you some questions. We already went through these, so I don't want people to pretend that or think that we that these are all off the top of your head. But so first Pokemon game, you answered that one actually.
Yep, Pokemon Yellow.
So Claude asks, what's your favorite color?
I like green, actually. I have a bright green Civic
car. That's true.
I really like the color green, but my favorite color to wear is blue. So it's kind of a mix of blue and green.
Yeah, you're also the wrong color, I think, for Pokemon Go.
Mm.
I think you're the wrong color. Puckle's yellow.
Oh,
we're all Team Instinct here, bud. Right?
I'm Mystic. Sorry.
All right. And then, so Farmer Fox wants to know, what's your favorite generation that you've played?
Let's see.
Because you've only played like four. So the choice isn't as hard for you as it is for others.
Yeah. I really like the Hoenn region, I think. I feel like it grew from Kanto to Johto to Hoenn.
Yeah.
And I feel like Hoenn had the best mix of everything and it kind of.
Okay.
By the time now it's gotten to Sword and Shield, it's convoluted. There's a lot going on and there's a lot that's cut out too.
Now there is.
Yeah. I really like, probably Emerald would probably be my favorite.
Emerald's a solid game, actually. Yeah. Oops, I closed it. Let's see. So the next one is, what's your favorite non-Pokemon game?
Non-Pokemon game. Let's see. Well, as I said, I have a Switch.
Yeah.
So I've really gotten into the Legend of Zelda games. It started off with Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember when you were telling me. I forgot that you had never played Legend of Zelda before.
So then I went back and I played Ocarina of Time. And I went and played A Link to the Past on the Switch because now they have like the Switch Online
as
the A Link to the Past. So,
oh, the original one?
Or, yeah, the original, okay. Yeah.
Or maybe the original Zelda. You mean the original, like, first Zelda?
The one on... No, so this was, like, the third Zelda game.
Oh, the third one that was the original...
It was the one for the SNES.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
And it... Because then they remade it. And
no, that's not the one they remade. That's not the one they remade.
Yeah, it was, like, A Link to... A Link Between Worlds was the remake.
Link's Awakening, I believe, is the remake.
Yeah, yeah. They made remade Link's Awakening as well.
We're talking about the one that they remade on 3DS.
Yeah,
they didn't really remake it. That was
it was a different game.
It was a sequel,
but,
I think.
Yeah.
I think it was a sequel in the same world.
Yeah.
Okay. These are good answers. Favorite Pokemon spinoff game. So, like, not main Pokemon games.
So,
I don't know how many you've played other than that's not Pokemon Snap.
Yes. No. Well, actually, I did like Pokemon Snap a little bit, but my favorite is it was called I Choose You Pikachu.
Oh, my God.
You had a little microphone.
Pikachu.
Oh,
that's
Hey You Pikachu. That's it. Yeah. You had a little microphone. You talked to Pikachu.
That's the worst game ever.
I had so many struggles as a kid getting Pikachu to do what I wanted it to do.
It's not even because you're a kid. It's because the game didn't functionally work.
Yeah.
it was a broken game.
And then Pokemon Channel was a fun follow up to that, I feel like. So I played both of those.
That's the only Pokemon game I haven't played.
Really?
Pokemon Channel.
It's interesting. And it's very different.
I'm not missing out.
You know,
there's
the Pichu brothers. I don't know if you've seen the short series, but I played through that game to learn about the Pichu brothers.
I saw the short. Yeah, well, so the Pichu brothers are in a short for Pokemon the movie 2000, or no, Pokemon the movie, it was the third Pokemon movie.
The third one, yeah.
There was a short with them in it.
Mm.
It's not the same short, though, that's on Pokemon Channel.
Huh.
It's different. Also, the Blu-ray release of all those movies don't have the shorts, which is really sad.
That's sad.
Yeah. If I wanted the side grade by Nissan Altima, what would be the Honda equivalent, and why is Honda better?
Oh,
says
man.
Kilo.
So the Nissan Altima, I believe that's the larger sedan.
I have no idea.
I think that's the sedan.
I think it's a sedan. Yeah.
So that would be the Honda Accord
I guess
equivalent.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Because you got the Civic. That's the smaller.
I like the Civic a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's a bit sportier.
It's a little sportier. The Accord definitely has more space. And they did like the new model update in 2018.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit newer new model update.
I thought the Honda Civic has a lot of space. Also, I say this fully biased as owning a Honda Civic. But.
Yeah, we're not promoting any car companies here.
I own a
but
Honda
Hondas
Civic.
Are great, so...
how many high Ryans do you get in a day from Thatch, says Dennis?
Well, I mean, there could be more Taj. I mean, Thatch,
I could say it more.
But I listen for it every week in the episodes.
That
so
was a follow up.
I get all excited when I hear the shout out. I knew you've done this a long time since college. I remember you recording episodes in college.
I've done this. So you were talking about how you fell out at Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
That's when it started.
Oh, man.
That's when this started. So Diamond and Pearl came out in April in the U.S., came out in April of 2007. The first episode of the show came out December 31st, 2007.
You know, I don't want to interview you here right now, but I'm really curious as a listener to the episodes. I don't know if you've ever done it, but you kind of give the preface at the beginning that in high school in your basement.
It wasn't a basement, but
I would like to sometime like hear the story.
I know. I don't think I do it that often. It's just like one of those things I expect people. So like I keep forgetting like 400 episodes is a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
And I don't even think about that because, like, I think on average our episode length turns out to be like an hour and a half now.
Yeah.
So, like, 400 times an hour and a half, I think that comes out to like almost like a month or 2 months of like just straight listening.
Yeah.
And that's,
Yep.
And so I totally get people not like going all the way back and listening. But I do know people do it.
Yeah.
I did it when I was in high school and. Did it with one of my friends in high school. It used to be like this. It used to be like a nice face to face podcast.
Yeah.
You get a lot. It's a lot different than now.
Yeah.
Because being able to bounce off of people's like facial expressions and stuff is something that I desperately miss in podcasting. I'm working on a new project that hopefully will let me do that again.
Yeah.
We'll see if that works out.
It's like a radio show.
Are you in? You want to be in?
Definitely.
We got a new project.
In college, you know, I'd see you recording these episodes and be like, what is going on right now? You know, kind of like,
it's really strange. Cause I was talking to Whimsicott earlier today and we were talking about just some of the things that I had done this past year. And I've been on a couple of panels and just other things that aren't related to Puckle, but just to go out there and be like, I'm Puckle.
Yeah.
And but then I go in there and then I realize like I'm like the oldest one in the room in terms of podcasting experience.
You were podcasting before podcasting was cool.
I was. I think podcast came out in like 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
And I don't realize that like I came in like 2 years after it came out.
Yeah.
And it was only because I wanted to do radio. Like I just like the whole idea came from I want to try out what it's like to be a radio DJ.
Yeah.
And then I found podcasts. I'm like, oh, cool. We can make like a Pokemon podcast.
Yeah.
And at the time there was one other. Called WTPT. They were called, they called themselves the Pokemon Times at the time, and then they switched over to like the Palette Tribune.
Huh.
And I mean, to be fair, like I owe them a lot. And yeah. I know one of the guys still does a podcast, not that one. He does another podcast. It's a Switch podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
There, and I know he still does it. And I know I was probably like the worst person for him to ever talk about, like back in, you know, 2009 or whatever. But I know he still does one. And he's a, and he's doing, I think it's doing well. It's called like Switchcast or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of it actually.
But we like hardcore rip their format. Like,
yeah.
I mean, now it's a little bit different because like they didn't do like a quiz or anything. And,
yeah.
And I think we've taken a lot of those and we've made them our own concepts and like really expanded on them and what we wanted them to be.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, I wouldn't say that the show today is an exact rip of theirs, but I think without them, there wouldn't be like the modern Puckle.
Mm hmm.
So I am very indebted to them, and I apologize for being a 16-year-old because there were some moments where like our communities clashed briefly.
Oh boy,
yeah, it wasn't my fault.
Yeah,
it wasn't my fault. Thankfully, but yeah, okay. But back to you,
right.
Back to you. We're not interviewing you, me. We're interviewing you.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's see. I'm almost out of questions because he asked about the Nissan Altima. I thought that was a funny question we had to ask. So I guess the next question is, what do you think? What's your critical opinion on SNOM?
So SNOM, the little like icicle looking Pokemon.
He's an ice bug. He's an ice bug.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. You know, I do like him, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he evolves, doesn't he, into like a moth or something?
He evolves into Frostmoth. Yeah. It's kind of garbage.
Yeah. So my issue is, since I have not played some of these games in the middle,
you don't know who's new.
So many Pokemon are new to me. Yeah. I'm like,
especially
oh my
now,
gosh, is
especially
this a new
now
one?
We were talking about it because if you actually look at like the percentage of Pokemon via generation, the generations that are like most heavily prominent from older games are generations 5, 6, and 7.
Which are the ones
are the ones you missed.
Yeah.
Which are the ones you missed. And so like most of those Pokemon are there.
The Pokédex seems the whole Dexit thing.
Yeah,
you know?
you're
I'm like, okay, whatever.
You're like there's like 250 new Pokemon.
Yeah, this is awesome, you know. But I think he's really cute. He's a cute little bug looking thing.
Yeah.
So I like him. Yeah. He's not one of my favorites, but he's definitely cute, I guess.
Yeah. And then there's one more, and it's from British Gent, and he wants to know about your D&D character.
Oh,
what's
man.
Your D&D character and why did you pick it?
Yeah, so Thatch and I, we play D&D together like maybe once a month
or
so.
It's about once a month or so. It's sometimes a little bit more because like right now it's the holidays.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get everybody together.
So I've dabbled a little bit in like, I started with a Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Or no, it was Starfinder actually campaign.
Right.
And then we went to a Pathfinder. So my character is actually based on my Starfinder campaign. I was like a little raccoon looking thing called Axel. And I had a little drone that would fly around with me named Rod. So it was Axel and Rod. But when we started our campaign with D&D, I was like, well, I want it to be based on my character from Starfinder.
Yeah.
So I was a little like raccoon looking thing called Axelot. I had to add Lot on the end of it, like Sir Lancelot. So it's Axelot. But so there's no creature like a raccoon.
I mean, there probably is
D&D,
but we didn't have it in like the player's handbook.
Yeah. So I'm actually dressed up as a raccoon, like a little like creature, rodent looking creature in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm an elf underneath of that. So
it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's fun. It's a good time.
Yeah. Okay. So that ends the community wanting to know more about you, but I think there's more the community should know, and then we can open up to a discussion, though.
Yeah.
So Have you beaten Sword and Shield yet?
I have.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. That makes the game, that makes the questions easier.
Yep. I haven't done the Battle Tower, but I've done everything else.
Battle Tower doesn't really matter unless you really want to get into competitive.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, it's really hard to get into competitive now because of the timer, but that's another issue. You could do like battle spot singles, and battle spot singles is fun. You bring six and you choose three, and then you just smack on someone.
Fun.
It's fun. It's pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's like maybe like 5-6 minutes per match, and like it's pretty quick. It's a lot of fun though. I've been playing around with it. It's a fun time. We can try it later.
Yeah, we should.
So I want to know what your opinions of these games are, because you're coming from the outside. You're coming back.
Yeah.
So like I have like a very jaded view, because like I'm comparing this to like 20 years of Pokemon games.
Yep.
And I've played 20 years of Pokemon games. And so I'm definitely biased in what like this game brings compared to other games and stuff like that. But in terms of just like, hey, this is a Pokemon game, like my first Pokemon game in like 20 or not 20 years, but like 15 years.
Many years, yeah.
In like 15 years.
Since practically I was a kid.
Yeah,
you know?
Since like, so Emerald came out in like 2005. So since like 2005. So like 14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your hot take on it?
So starting out the game felt very like normal to me. You know, you pick your starter, there you get a little bit of the story, you get a rival, all of that. I liked the aspect that it was kind of mysterious. Mm-hmm. When you went into the slumbering wield. Yeah,
I think that's what it's called.
And you kind of encounter, obviously everybody that's starting the game knows there's a cover Pokemon on the box. So I'm like, oh, I know what that is. So I know that's what I'm going to try to catch at the end of the game.
Man, it'd be cool if it was like Mewtwo and you didn't know what it was.
Oh, man.
Man, ideas, Game Freak. I know you listen.
But as the game went on, I knew that the wild area was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really excited for that.
Yeah.
And that's probably my favorite part of the game.
I would agree that's probably the best part of the game.
And definitely as the game went on, I kept finding myself wanting to go back to the wild area. But I did like the gym challenges and the gym challenges, but the gyms themselves. I got really excited.
Like the puzzles.
Yeah. Like the first one was fun. You know, a couple of them in there were fun.
I would agree with that. I think they're probably,
it was a different aspect to the game than,
I think they were a better puzzle than some of the past ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think that, well, I don't want to like bias your review. I think they're probably the best out of like, in terms of the gym in the wild area, probably like the top tier stuff in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, and I felt like the gym leaders had a lot of like character to them.
Oh, man.
You know, like I felt like I would be friends with some
Ryan,
of them.
We're talking
know?
About going back and playing old games together. Yeah. I think I should give you a different game.
maybe.
I feel like your opinions might change just like a little bit. But they do have a lot of personality. I agree with that.
But as the game went on, I do have to say that I could feel that they were getting a little bit more lazy, especially toward like the story towards the end felt kind of rushed. I could tell that it felt
so. You could
rushed.
Tell that. Okay, yeah. That's good to know, because I'm not. I don't want to say I got the short straw.
Yeah,
because we did those three episodes for reviewing the game.
Okay.
And so we had the first one, which was just the beginning, which Whimsicott hosted, and then we had the one at the end, which was the full game review. And Seth hosted that.
Yeah.
And I got the middle one,
uh-huh.
where we were only talking up to the eighth badge.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and I'm like, man, I just went through what was probably the worst part of the game.
Yep. So, but the story, just like the whole, I didn't really understand the motives of a lot of it. And it definitely felt rushed towards the end. Like, oh, we're done with like the whole Rose thing, and we're going to move on to the gym challenge part.
Yeah.
And then we bounced back to him kind of randomly at the end.
Yep.
So that, but, and then I was going, now, wait a minute. Like, what's the, I didn't feel like they did a good job of explaining Zacian and Zamazenta to us and their whole deal.
Just gotta wait for Super Sword and Super Shield.
Yeah. Like at the beginning, I was like really interested in like all the Sonya and like, okay, who are these two, like the princes or whatever, and the sword and the shield.
Yeah.
And I actually would read the text. You know, I remember as a kid, I would just button mash A and like zoom through the text. I was interested in the story. But yeah, it felt weak towards the end, I guess.
Near the end, it definitely felt like they ran out of time or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the biggest,
gripe.
the biggest indicator of that, I think, is Spikemuth, where the seventh gym is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, here's this cool city. And yeah, you haven't played Sun and Moon all the way through.
No.
And so, I would recommend like playing like
finishing it,
like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Yeah.
Like, they're a little bit better.
Yeah.
They both have different like endings, which is kind of interesting.
Really?
Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Moon have, they're pretty much the same game, but with different endings.
Yeah.
And, it was very interesting in Sun and Moon because there was actually this town called Po Town, and it was very similar to Spikemuth because Spikemuth is like, hey, we're home of Team Yell.
Yeah.
So there's this town in Sun and Moon called Po Town, and that was the home of Team Skull in Sun and Moon.
Okay.
And I think they did a far better job with Po Town
than
they did with Spikemuth. And I think that's just it's very evident of just like the whole region.
Yeah.
Because you have like these very grandiose buildings.
Uh-huh.
And then they feel very small when you get inside.
Yep, you get inside and there's nothing there.
There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably where the weakest part comes in, because you feel this disconnect at that point.
Yep.
And
I remember seeing the map going, wow, Galar looks like an awesome place to go.
Yeah, I wish you could just go into more buildings. That's all. I just wish you can go into more buildings and talk to a few more people. But it leaves you wanting a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of their plan. I mean,
I'm hoping that, you know, we'll get a follow-up game, and
we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show. And so the idea is that I personally think you're gonna see like a Diamond and Pearl remake next year, and then in 2021 you'll get Super Sword, Super Shield, if they keep up with their yearly release cycle.
That's what I
fully expect, because that's gonna mirror a very Gen 3 style thing, which is the last time we had quote-unquote Dexit. Where they don't give you the full decks and they create a remake that fills in the rest of the decks and then they make one game where you can put them all in. And so I could totally see just another game with just a different or regional decks, and then Super Sword, Super Shield as everybody here.
Yeah.
I would 2021 November 2021.
I would be excited for that, you know. We'll see.
I think everybody would be very excited about it. And that's the exact thing, because like you're probably the exact target audience right now. It's like, hey, who can we hook?
Yeah.
Right. And I like hearing that you're excited for that, because that means maybe that's what they're doing. Because I know, I remember when Dexit was announced, we went to a bachelor party together a couple weeks afterwards, and we talked about it.
So many times.
We talked about it a lot, because not just with you, but also with our other friends, Jim, and then our friend Jake as well.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it while we were there. And I know that your opinion you weren't happy about it.
No, I mean, I think the more Pokemon, the better.
I mean, I agree with that. It makes me a little sad every once in a while, because I'll be playing the game and like I think the models look very nice, like the textures they've added on top look very nice. A lot of them look really good. My favorite one that like really exemplifies that is Solosis.
Okay.
Solosis is a Gen 5 Pokemon from 2011. And so like you've watched it come from like sprites to like the 3DS. And just seeing that, you can just tell the detail. It definitely benefited from HD.
Yeah.
And since it benefited from HD, I'm like, man, it'd be really cool to see like Totodile get to see that in HD.
Yeah.
And then you like it hits you and it's just like, nope, that's not happening.
Yeah, one of my favorite Pokemon is Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
So Bulbasaur, I'm really sad.
So Bulbasaur is technically in the game.
So I've heard this as well. Maybe from you.
Yeah, probably from me. So there's like another 30-ish Pokemon that are in the back end of the game that aren't catchable in Galar, but they're in the code.
Yeah.
So once Pokemon Home comes out, if somebody has like a Bulbasaur in their Pokemon Home,
okay,
you can take like if you have Bulbasaur from Let's Go.
Yep. Yeah.
You can put of Bulbasaur course. From Let's Go into Home. And then you can take that Bulbasaur from Home and put it into Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
So that'll be able to happen. I mean, Bulbasaur and Squirtle are in the back end. The Alolan starters from Sun and Moon are in the back end. Some of the legendaries like Solgaleo Lunala from Sun and Moon.
Okay. Yeah.
And Necrozmaw, they're all.
I went to GameStop and picked up the like card to get my shiny Solgaleo,
the sunburned version. Yeah,
yeah. So I'm ready to go for that.
You can. That one will be. You'll be able to move that one over.
Yeah.
And then there's some like random Gen 5 stuff, and
Nice.
My opinion is, my thought for that reasoning is because Pokemon Go is doing it.
Yeah.
Because Pokemon Go will connect to home, and then you can bring it over to Sword and Shield to just like grab the Pokemon Go players. That's what I'm really thinking is happening. Because Terrakion and Cobalion, and there's another one on that top of that. Virizion.
Next week.
Virizion. They announced that. Well, it's next week when we're talking now, but it already happens by the time the show comes out. So all three of them are in the code along with the Box Art Legends from Black and White and Black and White 2.
Okay.
All of them are in the code as well. And I think Mewtwo is in the code. And I don't know if I missed anybody else. I'm thinking because there's 9, then I get to 15 with Bulbasaur and Squirtle. Then I get 3, another 3. I'm probably missing a couple.
Yeah.
The mythicals from Gen 7 are also in there. Like Meltan and Melmetal are in there.
Nice.
So,
quick question. Yeah. Kind of tangent, but
yeah.
Where does Meltan and Melmetal belong in the
generation scheme?
Yeah. Are they just kind of...
So they're Gen 7.
Not? Gen 7.
So like the way at least the community labels them is Gen 7.
Okay.
And that's rightfully so to an extent.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of filling in like... they're filling in like mythical spots for Gen 7.
Okay.
Because they do have national dex numbers and everything.
Yeah.
As soon as like they came out on TCG cards, like the national dex number was printed.
Right.
And also in the way they index them as Gen 7 Pokemon.
Okay.
In the way they coded them. So they are Gen 7. Like Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee is a Gen 7 game.
Yeah.
It's a Gen 7 game. So it counts.
Okay.
I mean, there's just no rules anymore. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess. But I mean, it's interesting to hear you say some of those things. Like, if you could tell it's rushed at the end, I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt bad about that because, I mean, like, I wanted to like the game, and I do like the game for what it is.
It's a great game, yeah.
I mean, I think raids are fun. I mean, you and I have done raids together.
So I'm still, like, playing.
Yeah.
Like, nightly. Like, I come home from work.
Yeah.
I eat dinner, and then I sit for 2 or 3 hours, and I'm doing raids.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying that.
No, raids are fun. I think raids are a good time. I really do. And especially with the way they have Gigantamax Pokemon being so rare.
Because I'm how they're really kind of spacing trying to it get out, those, yeah.
And how they're spacing out like the how to make them more common and stuff like that. Because I think there's a new rotation starting around the 10th of January or something like that.
Good.
There'll be a new rotation. Right now it's Dreadnought, Corviknight, Sanaconda,
Scentiscorch,
and Butterfree. Yeah. And also Snorlax. We got Snorlax on top of that.
I have enough Snorlax right now.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move on to the
I need to see
one.
Which ones you have.
Yeah.
Because if you have one with the right ability, I might need it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you can get hidden ability Pokemon through raid battles. And so I don't know how much you know about abilities.
Is that like natures or are those different?
So no, abilities are like Levitate. You know, the ability Levitate.
Oh, okay.
So stuff like that. Every Pokemon's got an ability.
Yeah.
And this was introduced later on in the game, like about around Gen 5.
Okay.
So every Pokemon can have standard like 2 abilities. Some of them only have 1.
Okay.
But there's also some Pokemon have a hidden ability, which is a third ability they can have. And those are harder to get. They're typically rare Pokemon to get the hidden ability. And Gigantamax Snorlax with its hidden ability Gluttony is super interesting to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have to look. We can look together.
Yeah, we can take a look. Yeah. Did you bring it with you?
I did not. I thought about it, but...
Oh, you should have brought it with. We'll have to take a look later.
Yeah.
It's not like we don't see each other.
Right.
But yes, we will have to... Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting to hear you say a lot of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, those are a lot of my feelings. I really want to like the game. I mean, it is a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
It's still fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I think raids, like you said, great feature.
Yeah, raids are fun.
Definitely my favorite thing, but it definitely felt rushed at the end.
Yeah.
Definitely felt rushed. The story just kind of like happened.
Yeah.
My other gripe with it is like, you don't really do any of the discovery.
Yeah.
It's all Sonya.
It's kind of just happening around
you. It's happening around
you. You don't even get to see it on a lot of places.
Yeah.
It's,
they just tell you about it.
Yeah.
They just tell you about it. And I think my biggest, like, I've mentioned this before on the show, but the way, if you compare it to something like, Gen 4, you haven't played Gen 4.
Maybe like the first 10, 15 minutes.
You haven't played Gen 4. But in Gen 4, they when you're doing going through the story, like there's a point where like Professor Rowan like comes up to you.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's like, hey, we need to know this information, and you need to go to the Cantilave Library and go figure it out.
Yeah.
And then you go to the library, you find the book by talking to the people, and
right,
and you figure out the information. Yeah. And so I thought that, like, if you like comparing that to like Sonya discovering everything while you're just standing yeah. there.
And Leon running around, and you're just like,
because like even before okay. that, like I think Leon, I think the biggest one that stuck out to me, because I read the reviews where they're just like, yeah, Leon's like going around and doing everything for you instead. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, it can't be that bad. Maybe they're just like, maybe the reviews are really just building this up to make it worse than it seems, because, you know, controversy sells. And after you get out of Spike Mouth, and they're like, yeah, Pokemon are just randomly Dynamaxing.
Right.
And yeah. I was like, sweet, I'm just going to fight like a random Dynamax Pokemon.
I remember like that part and being like, oh man, we're about ready to like come upon one. And
that'd be so cool in like the wild, just like pop up and like fight a Dynamax Pokemon with like Leon and Hop and like maybe somebody, and like Sonya brings like Yamper or something. You know, that would have been so much fun. I think that's a missed opportunity. And I don't know how much of that was just because like it was probably rushed at the end.
Right. I'm wondering if they had plans for that, and they're like, we're going to have to cut that part.
We're going to have to cut that. There's no time. Because I really think, personally, I think there's a small chance, or maybe bigger than a small chance, a medium sized chance, that what happened was Sword and Shield was originally supposed to be a 3DS game.
Oh.
And then, because Ishihara. I'm not going to say his first name because I'm going to mispronounce it and butcher it. But Ishihara, the CEO of the Pokemon company, said that he didn't think the Switch was going to actually be successful.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, the Pokemon company has been very much so like, mobile's the future. Mobile's probably where everybody's going.
Yeah.
And I think there's just something to like pressing buttons.
Right. Do you think they're fully committed now then? I mean, they really don't have any other choice because there's not going to be.
I think they're kind of locked into
it. For a while, at least.
Yeah, I think they're kind of locked into it for now. But I think I thought that was really interesting to hear him say that. And he said that around 2017 when they announced like, hey, new Pokemon game's coming next year. And then they announced Let's Go briefly after that. And I thought that was really interesting because I wonder if it was a 3DS game in like 2017. Yeah. And they had to like hurry up and transfer it all to the Switch and learn about the Switch all at once.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't going as well as they thought it would. Right. And I wonder if they just
and Nintendo needed a big release this year because like they had Smash last year, they had Mario and Zelda the year before.
So with the sales, like I would agree with you. I mean, I still think Fire Emblem was probably I thought Fire Emblem was like a surprise hit this year.
And I think Fire Emblem is still kind of a niche kind of genre.
It's getting there. It's a bit bigger because like I mean I would you haven't played it I don't think
I haven't no.
You should play it.
No, it would be my first Fire Emblem game.
Because I know myself and our friend Narker, or Sarge as the show knows him, I know he and I are both like very big Fire Emblem fans.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't become like a real big thing until like Fire Emblem Awakening came out in like 2013, I think. 2013 is when it came out. Because it was my senior year and your kind of senior year.
Right.
And it that came out and that like really brought it into like the main light because that game was really special because the people who developed it thought it was going to be the last Fire Emblem game.
Oh, wow.
So what they did was they pulled out all the stops and they said, we want to do everything in a Fire Emblem game that we've always wanted to do. And we're going to put everything in there that we can.
Yeah.
And it ended up making it like the best Fire Emblem game of all time. A bunch of people bought it and played it.
Yeah.
And they kept going. And I mean, I still think Three Houses was a solid game. Like, that was probably one of the better Fire Emblem games.
Well, I know I listened to the IGN podcast and stuff too, and they said like it was their top Nintendo game of 2019.
I would agree with that. So I would agree with that. As much as like we like Pokemon here, I would agree Fire Emblem was probably a little bit better.
Yeah.
It felt like a more complete experience. Granted, Pokemon's still Pokemon, and it was fun to finish the decks, especially this one. I thought they did some good things with that and improvements. But
yeah, I'm still working on my decks. I think I'm like 315, 320 at this
point.
Do more
raids.
So
get on the Discord. Well, ask people for the Discord Pokemon.
I have a lot of the raid Pokemon. I'm to the point now that I need to figure out all these like
That's right.
Odd evolutions that I've heard about some of them, but I need to like get online and actually figure it out.
Some of the evolution methods you probably don't know. Like you're probably gonna have a hard time.
I got a lot of random stones that I've never heard of before.
There are a bunch of new ones. It's pretty much just touch the right thing with the right stone.
Yeah.
Because there's a because if you haven't played since Gen 3, really, I mean, there's a lot of new stones. There's the ice stone. There's the ice stone, there's the dusk stone, the shiny stone, and the dawn stone.
Those and the way Pokemon Go does it, it's just you got the Sinnoh stone and the Unova stone. So
we were talking about this last night. I remember you were asking me, how do you evolve Rhyperior? I'm like looking for this. And
there's no Sinnoh stones in the game. How am I supposed to evolve Rhyperior?
He's just, he just evolves with the protector. We talked about that, though. You trade him with the protector.
Yeah, so I'll have to do that still. Because I have a shiny, that's the one shiny I've gotten in the game so far. I randomly came across a Rhyhorn.
I haven't gotten any shinies yet.
Yeah, it was very random. So.
Yeah, I'll have to give you one of those Dittos.
Yeah.
So you can Masuda method once you get the shiny charm. Yeah. You get all the shinies you want.
I don't know how deep I want to get into like the black hole of like shiny hunting, because I know that can very quickly consume my life.
So my hot take is it's not as fun in Sword and Shield.
Yeah.
I think it was more fun in previous games because there were different methods. Like the one in Sword and Shield is pretty straightforward and easy. Yeah. Like knock out as many Pokemon of a certain species as you can.
Yeah.
And then you increase your chance of catching that Pokemon shiny. And so, like, yeah, that's cool, I guess, but it's also not that fun.
Yeah. I did a little bit of shiny hunting in Let's Go Pikachu.
That one's a little bit
different.
And
the fact that you can see the shiny in the overworld.
That one, yeah.
And you have to, like, combo stuff up.
I think combos are more fun.
Yeah.
Doing combos, because, like, that one was fun. Gen 7 had a couple different ways you could do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't as fun as the combos. It was, they have these things called SOS battles.
Oh.
And what would happen is you'd be battling a wild Pokemon and it could call a friend.
Yeah.
And it would be two Pokemon on one then. And eventually after you got like 30, they did it 30 times, like your chance was like one in like 512 instead of one in 4,096.
Yeah. And like the Let's Go Pikachu game, I would like combo something 30 times. I'd be ready to go with it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to encounter it.
Yeah.
And then another shiny would pop up that wasn't that Pokemon. And I would go, oh,
that's the problem.
I'm torn. Do I catch it? This one that is here now? Or do I keep comboing and skip this shiny?
So the problem with Let's Go is it didn't just raise the shiny chance of that one Pokemon being shiny. It raised the chance of every Pokemon being shiny.
Yeah.
That was my biggest gripe too.
I was going for Bulbasaur in the forest, and then a Pidgey showed up. Yep. I'm like, well, I guess I'll catch this Pidgey.
That's what happened to me. I was comboing like Dratini or something, and then all of a sudden, like a shiny Pidgey showed up, and I'm like, oh, that was for nothing.
Yep,
that was for nothing. Oh, that's cool. That was really
but shiny sad. Hunting. I think when I get the decks complete and get the shiny charm, I might do a little bit of it.
It's a little bit different in the main games than Let's Go.
Yeah.
My favorite shiny method was in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, the Gen 3 remakes.
That's crazy to me that there are different shiny methods for different games.
Yeah, they change it up a little bit every generation or every game, essentially, to an extent. And what they had in that game was called the Dexnav.
Uh-huh.
And so it was kind of like seeing Pokemon in the overworld, but not exactly.
Hmm.
But what could happen is like you'd have a Pokemon on like a radar.
Yeah.
And that Pokemon on the radar would you could find it and you'd see like the grass shaking or its tail wagging or something.
Yeah.
And you have to like creep over and like encounter it. And if you ran too fast, it would run away.
Oh, man.
But you had to do that and you had to chain that. And so you just keep doing that over and over and over again until you run into the shiny. I mean, I found accidental shinies that way because there were other things you could get, like hidden abilities again. Like that's how you got hidden ability Pokemon.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I need this Pokemon, this hidden ability. And it's like, oh, I guess that's a shiny now.
Yeah.
Ran into a shiny while looking for hidden abilities.
So this game also has like a different form of shinies, doesn't it? There's regular shinies and then there's like square.
There's like these square shinies. And I don't know why anybody cares about the difference.
Yeah.
One is rare. So you can hatch shinies and eggs. I mean, I mentioned it to you yesterday, the Masuda method.
Yep.
And you can, that one is actually really easy to get like the star shinies. Like when you hatch an egg and it's shiny, there's like a 15 and 16 chance at star shiny, 1 in 16.
That's pretty good.
It's not ultra shiny, but square shiny.
Uh-huh.
But they programmed it wrong for the wild because it's supposed to be harder to get the square shiny than the star shiny.
Yeah.
But they somehow messed up the coding in the wild. And when you catch a Pokemon in the wild, it's like a 4,095 out of 4,096 chance that it's a square shiny.
Oh wow.
It was supposed to be the opposite way around.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like a 1 in 4,096. And so there's an issue with like the coding. I'm not exactly sure on the specifics, but there's an issue in the coding. So the square shinies show up far more often.
Yeah.
in the wild than they do when you hatch eggs. But even when you hatch eggs, like 1 in 16 is not that bad.
No.
But I mean, hatching eggs is bad. Like go talk to my wife. she's been trying to hatch shiny score bunny, and she's on 500 and some score bunny hatched, and she hasn't found a shiny yet.
Score bunny. That was my starter. That's where I went. I was like all Grookey gang until I saw the third evolution. I was like, it turned me off.
You weren't able to be disappointed by it because you had missed like the past few generations of starters.
Yeah.
And so they did really good in my opinion. Like Gen 4, Gen 6, and Gen 7 did really good about giving them all really cool like dual typings.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like in Gen 4, like the water type becomes water steel. And then the grass type becomes grass ground.
Right.
And then the fire becomes firefighting.
Yeah, like I know there's that whole joke out there.
The firefighting thing is kind of bad because it happened like 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
And then in Gen 6, we got like Water Dark with Greninja, which was really, really cool. Delphox was Fire Psychic, which was really cool. And then Chestnut was Grass Fighting. And those three were really cool.
So when did they add dual typings? Because I don't think remember as a kid.
Dual typing's been in the game
forever. Okay.
Since the beginning, everything can have up to two types.
Huh, okay.
Charizard was always fire flying.
Yeah.
So some Pokemon, that's been in the game forever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I'm still trying to I've got a nice graph of all the weakness that I use because I feel really bad when I go into raid with people
and I throw
something out that's the wrong typing.
Yeah.
And it's a no effect.
Oh no.
And I'm like, oh great. Why did I throw this Pokemon out and stuff?
Oh, no.
But I get so confused with fire or rock and ground. Those two mix me up. So
It's really hard, especially if your knowledge comes from Gen 1, Gen 2.
Yeah.
Because Gen 1, Gen 2, there were barely any, I don't know if there was, there was one pure rock type, I think, in the entire game. So every time you saw a rock type, it was probably a ground type.
Yeah.
Attached to it.
Yeah.
Because I think the only one was Sudowoodo that was rock type in Gen 2. I might be wrong. There might be something that I'm missing, but I think that's the only pure ground type, rock type up until Gen 2.
Yeah.
Gen 3 had a couple as well, but that was the only one. That was the only one. So nobody knows what rock is exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's never separated from ground. And so does it affect ground or does it affect rock? Nobody knows. And it's just a whole thing all together. Nobody knows Sudowoodo.
I've gotten to the point where I've started, and I'm not going to say the word because everybody's speakers are going to go crazy, but I can say, hey, this speaker, tell me what is weak against this type, and it will tell it to me. And I'm like, thank you.
I just got our Amazon earbuds that can do that.
Oh yeah.
And it was, so I'm always worried that it's going to activate the headphone when somebody says that.
Yep. Yeah. I'm never going to name my kid that name because
you can't. No, there's never going to be a child named that ever again.
Nope.
Ever again. There will never be a child.
Yep.
It just won't happen. So it's, It's fine. It's fine.
But typings, they're good.
Yeah, that must be hard too, because I mean the type chart changed a couple times since you last played as well. I mean, it all happened.
Fairy's a new type to me. I'm not really.
Yeah, this is your first fairy type.
Yeah,
fairy type was the best thing that ever happened, though.
Really,
fairy type was the best thing because it was getting really bad at the end of Gen 5.
Uh-huh.
If you don't ever played competitive and you don't know, but if you played Gen 5. It got really bad because dragon types were just so good. Hydreigon in specific was a terror in Gen 5. there's a website that runs pretty much the community for competitive Pokemon called Smogon.
Okay.
And they put analyses of each Pokemon and here's some Pokemon if you're having trouble with it, that you should think about using to counter it.
Yep.
And so Hydreigon's page, it exists in Gen 5 and you get to the counter section if you're just I need to beat Hydreigon. I'm having trouble with Hydreigon. And it says Hydreigon has no counters.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And so it was a really big problem because Hydreigon's Dragon Dark.
Yeah.
And it's, they're just man, how do we take this on? The biggest problem was Hydreigon and fighting types. Those were the huge issues. Dragon types had always been a problem to an extent as well. because there was nothing that really like stopped them. They could just kind of plow through a team.
Yeah. So you're telling fairy type was added just to unbreak the game pretty much?
It did. It really did. I mean, so like they announced fairy type with Sylveon.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
And like
yep,
20, I have one of those. In 2012 or in 2013, they announced Sylveon.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you what type it was. They said new Eevee evolution. And everybody's like, well, what is it going to be? And we didn't find out until E3 of that year that it's fairy type.
Yeah.
And the artwork they released with fairy type, the fairy type announcement, is this really cool piece of artwork that I really want to get a print of. It's a Sylveon like falling downwards from a moon.
Yeah.
And below it is a Hydreigon falling because Sylveon's taking down Hydreigon.
Oh, wow.
Because fairy type is super effective to dark and dragon.
Yeah.
So Hydreigon hates fairy types. And it really brought balance. Like,
yeah.
It really brought balance.
Yeah.
Like it fixed a lot of things because fighting types were also an issue back then as well. And fairy's also good against fighting. Like the three types it's good against are fairy, dark, fighting, dark, and dragon. Those are the three
just
types.
What they needed.
And I mean that tells you everything you need to know. Like
yeah.
Those were exactly the problems.
Yeah.
And so it was like they definitely made it to fix a lot of the problems, and everything's pretty balanced. It was pretty balanced. I would say Gen 7 there was definitely some power creep.
Yeah.
Especially with like all of the Tapus from like all the legendaries.
Oh yeah.
it got there was a lot of power creep, and then now it's not too bad. Granted you can't really play it on cartridge.
That's another thing about the Sword and Shield. Like I felt like and I didn't play all of Sun and Moon, but I definitely noticed that with my brother playing Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, there were a lot of the Tapus and a lot of legendaries, I felt like
there was
in
those
games. But this game has like Only the three. Yeah.
It was, I mean, that was cool in and of itself, I think.
Yeah.
It reminded me more of like, so Generation 6 kind of had that as well. Generation 6 only had three legendaries.
Yeah.
I would
like a legendary trio, though.
Yeah, right?
I miss that.
I felt like we should have gotten at least like, maybe like bring back like an older legendary trio or something.
Yeah.
I would have
because I
that.
Really love I loved Emerald, how you had to play it was like dungeon style when you went through the dungeons to get the Regis.
Yeah.
And then I really enjoyed trying to find the legendary beast.
So that's something that's kind of like been slowly disappearing from Pokemon games. It's just like these random caves that you have to explore.
Yeah.
They've been really disappearing, which is kind of sad in retrospect, but they keep saying like, oh, people don't, they seem to have this fear that people don't have time to play games.
Really?
And they try to make them quick and easy.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read a lot of interviews with like the Pokemon directors, that's pretty much the answers they give.
Yeah.
Is they're just like, we're competing for time.
Right.
For people's attention. And I'm just like, but you're a Pokemon. Like,
right. Yeah. You got to give something extra for those people that are really into it, that have beat the game.
Yeah, right?
To like do.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess there's raids, but it'd be fun to have
raids are probably the best post game we've gotten since Gen 5.
Yeah.
Since Gen 5, this is probably the best post game we've gotten.
Yeah.
I will say that just because raids have a lot of longevity, even if you've caught all the Pokemon as well.
More added and better ones.
Well, if you're not even that, like if you're playing competitive, like there's just a lot of items you get.
Yeah.
And when you're done, like you get a bunch of TRs, you get a bunch of candies and stuff like that. I think from that perspective, that's done very well.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is definitely the best post game in my opinion since Gen 5. Gen 6 didn't really have one. Gen 7 didn't really have one. So this one was like the best post game, I think.
Yeah, I've definitely been playing it since I beat it. So
yeah, no, you absolutely should. You absolutely should. I don't know. It's very interesting to me. This has been a fruitful conversation. there's a lot of things that like we haven't talked about before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we could probably go on forever about this because there's so much. Like talk about
I guess we'll end it here then. I'm sorry you only get like an hour, guys, this week instead of an hour and a half. Shorter show after Christmas, but we'll be back on the new year. And I think Sublime's scheduled so far. Somebody else is scheduled. I don't know if anybody else is scheduled yet. But welcome. So if you want to keep up with us, check out our Twitter, our Instagram, and our Facebook. I think those are the three that we have and we use, mostly Twitter. Follow us there at Puckle Podcast. Also make sure to, if you want to hang out with us some more, go over to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast where I stream raid nights and, other people are streaming things. I think Linian's doing like a Nuzlocke or something. Also check out the YouTube. There's going to be some more content over there soon, hopefully, youtube.com/pucklepodcast. And then of course, If you want to support the show monetarily, there's several ways to do it. One, go over to twitch.tv. If you've got an Amazon Prime membership, you get a free Prime subscription and you can subscribe to us on Twitch. You give us a free $2. Also go ahead and go over to, the other way to do it is go to TeePublic, buy a t-shirt, get something cool, or a phone case or a tapestry or like a throw pillow. All those things are cool. anything you buy over there helps us out. And then of course, you can check out our partners at Vite Ramen. Vite Ramen. Use code Puckle for 10% off on your healthy ramen noodles. They're actually pretty good. By the time the show comes out, I will have eaten them.
Yeah.
Mine come in on Wednesday this week. But I've heard only good things. It is a little bit more pricier, but they do have like less sodium and like they are healthy. A healthier alternative.
Yeah.
I'll hand you a pack when they come and you can try You can try it. And then finally, the best way to support us is go over to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast and just join up over there. You can come to join the Patreon raid nights. You can get your name read on the show. You can, get Pokemon giveaways that we do or, free Puckle TCG cards, stuff like that. It's really cool. Just go on over to patreon.com/pucklepodcast. And I think, everything there. So I guess now we get to say bye, Ryan.
So sad.
I don't know if the joke's dead or anymore or not. I don't know what's gonna happen the episode after this. Yeah. I don't know if the joke's gonna keep happening because I've kind of just been building up to this moment.
Right.
Like we planned this like back in like February.
We
or
talked
something.
About it. Yeah. When I started watching the show, I was like, hey, you should shout me out sometime. Yeah. I listen now.
And so we started doing the Hi Ryan and I did it for a couple weeks and I'm like, we should just have you on the show.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, just have a build up. So I think this has been good. I hope the joke paid off.
Yeah.
I guess it's bye, Ryan. In the Lavender Town Radio Tower. It's closing time.
Catch you on the flip flop.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.